Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arvida Group Limited Market Update conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bill McDonald, CEO. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Thanks very much for joining us on the call this morning. We're very pleased to announce a strong result for the FY 2017 year. The highlights to start with, we had a market cap increase of about 60% or $160 million, which is a reflection of the five acquisitions that we made throughout the year, plus the significant increase in share price appreciation. This led to a 47% increase in underlying profit for the year, which gave us a $23.1 million underlying profit, which is, of course, our key metric that we go by. We also look at our occupancy level at our care facilities very closely, and we're pleased that we were able to announce 95% occupancy, which is 1% up on what we had announced last year. So good, strong occupancy, which is well above an industry average of about 88%. Total assets were up $334 million to $795 million, which was on the back of our five villages that we acquired throughout the year. Brownfield development activity has been very strong, and we're currently in the progress of building and planning 262 units and beds at the moment, and we'll talk about some other planning works a little later in the presentation. And we've also got a lift in our final dividend for the final quarter to 1.15 cents, which is up from 1.1 cents for the three previous quarters. So portfolio stats, we're now 26 villages. We started the year at 21. Very pleased with the way in which the acquired villages have performed throughout the year. We're now made up of 1,450 odd beds and about 1,300 retirement village units. That makes a total beds and units of 2,747. And we still have a strong needs-based composition, somewhere around 75%, which is very much on strategy for Arvida. As I said, care facility occupancy was at 95%, so we're very pleased with that. It's one of our key drivers. The average age across our retirement villages in our units sits at 82.9. There's been a slight drop in the average ingoing age of residents in our villas due to the fact that we've acquired a few more villa-based villages throughout the year, and our service apartment age has stayed about the same. From an operational perspective, we've had a lot of change throughout the year. We've certainly improved our leadership across the villages, both from a clinical governance sense and across our village managers. We've restructured a number of teams, changed reporting lines, and also finished the rollout of our policies and procedures. We've been very pleased with the way in which this has gone. We've also achieved ACC tertiary accreditation across the entire group now, which is great, some savings there, but also outlines that we're taking health and safety as a very serious metric within the business. We've also rolled out a resident management system across the business, which is now live. That should be completed in the next couple of months. We've got seven projects underway now in construction and some in sell down across New Zealand, Aria Bay, Coppercrest, Lauriston Park, Oakwood, Park Lane and Roads on Kashmir. So it's very pleasing to see that the brownfield developments are now starting to take shape. We also are very pleased to announce the conditional agreement to acquire 8 hectares in Richmond in the Nelson-Marlborough region. We already have a couple of villages there, Oakwoods and the Wood. We know the area well, and we think it's going to be a terrific site for a village that will start emerging in coming periods. But very pleased to announce our first greenfield acquisition for Arvida. We also have, as I said a moment earlier, a strong needs-based development pipeline with another 650-odd units and beds that are in planning and unconsented development stage. So they exist across the North and South Island. Cascades, we acquired a further piece of land, enabling us to build another 120 service apartments. At Coppercrest, we're planning to introduce a care facility and additional apartments there. The same at Lauriston Park in Cambridge. Of course, at Richmond, we've announced the new site there. And at Snorbans, we're well underway with plans to put in another 20 care beds and 25 service apartments. And we're all still focusing on plans for Wendover. If you have the pack in front of you, you see some nice photos there of the developments in progress. And I will highlight to you the cross-laminated timber development there at Park Lane, which is quite an amazing development, and we're very pleased with the way in which things are going there. From a strategy perspective, we think that we're really in line with where we have what the targets we've set over the last few years. We still see acquisition opportunities out there. It's certainly been underpinned by a 20% accretion in underlying profit for the year, and that has been really driven by the acquisition of those new villages. From a dividend perspective, as I said, we've increased our dividend to 1.15 cents for the final quarter, and we expect that we'll be able to maintain that level. So I might hand over to Jeremy to get into a little more detail on the numbers.
Good morning, everybody. I'll just quickly run through some of the key financial numbers and just give you a bit of a flavour about what's changed from last year through to this year. So looking at the income statement first, total revenue for the year was $101 million, up from 82 in the prior period. Really the gain is driven from the acquisition strategy, plus the ability for us to sell units at higher values and drive greater deferred management fees. As you can see from the chart at the bottom of page 5, the key revenue composition and the key expense composition is relatively consistent with the prior period. So as we're growing, obviously we've been able to drive more income, and obviously that has a corresponding increase in the operating expenditure of the company. From a gain on value perspective, our investment properties, so that's our retirement village assets, increased by $39.3 million. And our care facilities, our PP&E, changed in value by $800,000. We also gained $3.2 million on the acquisition of Coppercrest and Lauriston as we bought those villages at a discount to the current market values. On an overall basis, that leads you through to a net profit after tax of $53.7 million compared to $24 million in the prior period. We've included some new information this year talking about embedded value. So as you can see from the details on page 7, the embedded value as at the end of the year was $153 million. Broken down per unit, that's around $117,000 every time a unit is resold. As you can see from the chart on the right, the significant increase has been in the resale gain component of that embedded value. So $63,000 of $117,000 relates to that resale gain component. During the period, we bought embedded value of around $49 million. And pleasingly, we were able to increase that by $17 million over the time that we owned those assets during the financial year. That increase is really driven by our ability to sell the units at higher prices than what we bought them at. In terms of our valuation reconciliation, we've included some details on how we've moved from $296 million of investment property through to $570 million at the end of the year. Obviously, the big change was the acquisition of our villages for $215 million. Those villages then increased in value by a further $14 million over the course of the year, and the original portfolio increased by $25 million. So if you looked at the implied value per share, taking into account the value of our retirement villages, care facilities, the $20 million of development work in progress, less our bank debt, you get to an implied value per share of $1.16. In terms of the balance sheet, as Bill talked about, total assets have increased from $460 million to $795 million. Again, through the acquisition and development strategies, we have introduced or signed up terms for a new bank facility with ANZ that was signed in May, and we're in the documentation stage at the moment. That will increase our facility from $80 million through to $150 million, and that will help fund the development program that Bill outlined earlier on. Cash flow remains very, very strong, so net cash from operating activities was $40 million for the year compared to $24 million in the prior period. Obviously, we've had a lot of activity in the acquisition and development front going through our investing activities, and through financing activities, we've had the proceeds from the rights issue that was in October last year. So from an underlying profit perspective, underlying profit for the year was $23.1 million, up from $15.8. A couple of key drivers from that. One is the acquisitions we made during the year. They added $4 million of underlying profit to the group. We also had the ARIA portfolio for a full 12 months. That added a further $1.2 million to the underlying profit. And the increased activity from a gains on sales perspective, when you're looking at solely the original portfolio, that was $2.1 million of additional underlying profit. From an earnings per share basis, we hit 7.7 cents per share, up from 6.0 cents in the prior period. So there's a 27% increase on an adjusted basis. I'll hand it back over now for any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Andrew Steele with First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just a few questions from me. Just first on the cost growth year on year, whilst the mix has remained consistent, it has grown a reasonable amount ahead of revenue. I was just wondering, does this reflect underlying cost pressures, or is this more a result of the mix effect from the acquired villages?
It's a combination of factors. We have invested some of our additional revenue back into key areas of the business, one of those being our clinical procedures and resources, so that has been bolstered. We've also looked to bolster the support office as we've grown and added more villages, more resources being required in the support office.
Okay, on the Richmond development, I was wondering whether you could provide some timing for that. I mean, when do you expect to have any news around consent and approval on the subdivision? And then I guess once you have that, you know, what are sort of the intended timeframes for different phases of the development?
So we're hoping that within 12 months, all of the rezoning and subdivision will be complete. First stage for us will be the development of villas on the sort of the left-hand side of the picture on page 17. We have the ability to build and sell as we're developing the villas, and later down the track, as we get the critical mass, we'll be developing the care facility and service department block.
Do you have any time frames associated with when you expect to complete that first villa phase and then move on to the care phase?
Probably 18 months. So if we assume that we get all the rezoning subdivisions through in the next 12 months, that would get us 6 months to get the first villa complete.
Okay. And then after that, the care facility?
Yeah, back down the track.
Okay. And you've had a decent increase in your fair value movement, I guess, and that was split between the acquired villages and your existing asset base. I was wondering, could you provide some sense as to, you know, how much of that related purely to unit pricing improvements and how much related to your own self-help? Because you identify a number of elements which you've undertaken yourself that improved that fair value movement.
Yep, so in the back of the pack is a summary of valuation assumptions. So as you can see, there's no real material change in any of those assumptions. The valuation is primarily driven from our ability to sell the units at higher price points. So that comes into a number of factors from the presentation, the refurbishment, the sales process, the new ORA and terms that we've introduced 12 months ago. So there's a whole combination of factors that have driven our ability to sell at higher price points. We also have a strategy to repurchase any unit titled properties or unit titled ORAs within the portfolio. That also has the impact of driving some additional value as well.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Jeremy. And just my last question. The dividend payout for last year at 62%, should we expect the payout for the coming year to be similarly at the lower end of your range?
That would be a good assumption to make.
Great. That's all from me. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Jeremy Simpson with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and well done on a good result. Just to follow up on some follow-up questions on the Nelson site, in terms of the care facility, are you looking at having dementia on there as well as hospital and rest home?
We probably haven't thought that far through at this stage, Jeremy, but we certainly are considering dementia at Oakwoods, which is, of course, just up the road. So right. I think it'll probably work its way into the planning.
Yep, cool. And in terms of any sort of comments on the acquisition market at the moment, whether there's much out there or, you know, vendors' expectations and also any competition, I guess, emerging, looking to buy sites. Clearly, you've done well buying in the last 18 months.
Well, Jeremy, as we always say, that there continue to be opportunities out there that we're seeing all the time, but we run them through our filter, which really identifies for us which assets, you know, would suit coming into the Arvida mix, and yep, there continue to be opportunities out there. As far as competition goes, I think there's always been some competition out there. There is a couple of players that have bolstered their war chest with some private equity investment, so, you know, we'll see what happens there. But overall, I think that certainly we've been able to demonstrate that we can integrate the village as well when we acquire them, and I think that forms a major part of our offering when we do come into discussions with potential vendors.
Stuff. And are you In terms of what you've got coming out of the ground at the moment, have you started pre-selling anything?
Yeah, so we have started pre-sales. So we've focused on a couple of developments so far. I'll tell you about the ones that are going extremely well, eh? So the one, Lauriston, Cambridge, 22 villas, that's actually completely sold down. Coppercrest, Tauranga, 15 villas, they're completely sold down. And we're getting some good demand for the second stage of 25 villas there. So Coppercrest going well. Oakwoods, we've just started the sales process there. I think we've got 7 or 8 under contract of the 24. Aria Bay, we've got the public launch coming up this weekend. We've already sold 3 or 4 of those apartments, 4 of those apartments. And then off the other ones, Parkland and Rhodes, we haven't started the sales process. So, you know, we've got some good sales momentum happening, but obviously, you know, with any type of retirement product, the sales we're talking about are people with provided a deposit, provided an application form, and have earmarked a specific unit to purchase.
Yeah. So, and just lastly, are you seeing any impact of any sort of slowdown in terms of residential property market around the country?
No indications of that at all. All resale stock, we've got, what we'd call relatively lower levels of resale stock available currently, and we're not seeing any indication of people being unable to settle because of residential house market issues.
Cool. Great. Oh, thanks a lot, guys. That was all.
Cheers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Fenton Peterkin with Vita Group. Please go ahead.
Sorry about that. They put in your name, not my name. But my question is regarding the development margin. I see over the past couple of years it's been around the 16-17%. Are you able to give any guidance on what you expect that to be going forward?
Yes. So our development margin reflects to sales of new units, so the first time a unit has been sold. So historically and in the current year, that number also includes units that we've bought that had not been sold before as part of our village acquisition strategy. So I think you'll see in the papers that we see here there's 32 new units sold in FY17, but we've actually only delivered 5 new units this year. So we are, as part of our acquisition strategy, buying units that hadn't been sold before and then reselling them. So the margin you see here is sort of a commingled number between that part of the business and also the delivery of new units. So going forwards, we will expect to keep a development margin in the sort of 15 to 20% range. It just depends on the type of project that it is and where it's located. So between 15 and 20 is the aim.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. McDonald for closing remarks.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us this morning, and we're looking forward to another great year going ahead. Thanks again.